helping at that. We're handling the food down there so that they can focus on building relationships with their community. So one thing I love about this church is that we're not just about building Cornerstone, we're about building the kingdom. And that's exactly the focus that we should continue to have. We're going to continue our series today called Upside Down. It's about kingdom living. And last week, we kind of did a general overview, and we're going to dive into some specifics today. But we're talking about the upside down values in the kingdom of God. We think that the person that's first is first, but according to Jesus and according to the values of the kingdom of God, first is last and last is first. Or another example is Jesus says the greatest among you is the servant. Or if someone hits you on the right cheek, turn to them the other cheek also. Or love your enemies and don't focus on building treasures here on earth. All that seems upside down to us. And we talked about last week, it seems upside down because we've been trained to think another way. Our fleshly side of us that we're going to hit on a little bit today encourages us to think differently than the ways that God originally intended for us to think. The world around us also pushes this type of thinking. And so when Jesus comes and he tells us how we're supposed to live, it seems upside down, but it really is right side up. Today, I want to talk about upside down thinking, and we're going to cover one specific upside down thing that's not listed here on this list. So to start, what I thought about is, have you ever been asked in a job interview what your weaknesses are? I remember when I went to work at Food Lion, that was one of the questions they asked me is, what are your weaknesses? That seemed upside down to me. Because shouldn't we be talking about our strengths that are going to help us do our job at a high level? So when I was asked about my weaknesses, it kind of threw me off because I had spent so much of my life up to that point trying to hide my weaknesses rather than talk about them. So when I thought about it, we go from really being a baby, needing everything done for us, to a child trying to show how independent we are and that we're strong enough to do things ourselves. That's Elijah at this stage. To a teenager, because, you know, he's the big two now, so he's all Mr. Independent. To a teenager trying to hide our weaknesses so that we are not made fun of. And then you go to your first job interview and they say, what are your weaknesses? Kind of takes you aback. I wanted to be like, I don't know. I don't think about them. I try to hide them. But that's because the values of this world have taught us to hide our weaknesses. We value strength in this world and we look down on weakness. We want our leaders to be strong. We want our politicians to display strength. We want our nation to be strong. We want our children to be strong as adults, and we want to project strength in our own life. In fact, we will go out of our way to make sure people don't know the weak sides of us so that people don't see the struggles going on inside of us. We go out of our way to make sure people don't know if we're depressed or if we're down or if we have problems in our life or struggles or battles. We try to hide our weakness. Yet in the kingdom of God, weaknesses and struggles are not to be hidden. In fact, here is how Jesus started his sermon that we covered in a series a while back. It was the Sermon on the Mount. Here is how Jesus started the Sermon on the Mount talking about his kingdom. He said this, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. And blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth." Do these aspects of us, do they sound strong? Do the poor in spirit, or in other words, those who are kind of down and out, does that sound like someone who is strong? Or how about when someone's mourning, does that sound like someone who is strong? Or the meek. Here's the world's definition of meek. Quiet, gentle, and easily imposed on. Might as well just say weak. Yet, Jesus says, they are blessed. And he says, here's the blessings they get. They get comfort for the one who mourns. Those who are poor in spirit, they get the kingdom of heaven. And those who are meek, they will inherit the earth. That sounds like some big rewards for being weak. But see, what Jesus wants us to understand is that in the kingdom of God, the weak are blessed. Now, we're all weak whether we know it or not. And when I say weak, when I'm talking about our weaknesses in this sermon today, there's multiple ways we can apply that. First, we can talk about the times in which we are struggling, our weak times, like when we mourn, when we're going through a tough time, when we're just kind of beat down. But also when we're talking about weaknesses, there are sides of us that are not as strong as others. Like for me, I hate conflict. And I don't deal with it too well. My way of dealing with it is pretend it doesn't exist. And then it gets worse. Or even, I can preach all day long to you guys. But talking one-on-one to a stranger is tough for me. It's one of my weaknesses. So there's sides of us that we're weaker. There's sides of us that are stronger. And so that will be a way we're talking about weakness as well. But also another way we're talking about weakness is just straight up sin. There are areas in which we struggle. There are areas in which we are tempted. And there are areas in which we mess up. So when we talk about weaknesses today, we apply it to multiple things, tough times that we're going through in our life, weak sides of us, and then sin is in that as well. Now, Paul tells us that we are powerless when it comes to spiritual battles. This is in Romans 5:6. He said, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. What he wants us to understand is that you're weak when it comes to spiritual things, whether you know it or not. You are powerless in yourself, outside of Jesus. You are powerless to deal with spiritual things. And news alert, we often separate material versus spiritual, but all the material stuff that's dealing in the world today is directly connected to the spiritual. And so ultimately, we are powerless when it comes to dealing with anything really in our life. We have no way to battle against the forces of darkness that are out against us. We have no power against the devil in our own power. We can't beat sin ourselves. Now, many don't know they're weak and powerless because of pride, because of deception, because of ignorance. But for those that do know, Jesus has good news. The kingdom of God is for you. I think we all become more aware of our weakness at times. Interestingly enough, it's the times in which Jesus listed. When we are poor in spirit, that's when we kind of feel empty in our spirit or in our souls. Have you ever felt that way? Have you ever seen someone else that way? You can tell something's off with them. We get that way because we simply can't keep our spirits high or up ourselves. If you continue to pour from the power that you really don't have, you're going to run empty. Or how about when we mourn? Grief is one of the hardest things to deal with and to work through. Or even how about looking at the state of the world and mourning at that? When we mourn, it's a way of coming to the realization of just how little control we have in this world. Unfortunately, my family's lost loved ones over the last few years. It's a reminder that you're not in control. The doctors, while they help, they don't have that much power. Even when I look at the world today, I don't get too in uproar about the things going on in this world because there's not much I can do about it. There's not much the President of the United States can do about it. There's not much our nation can do about it. So we look at it and mourn. And that's the ones that Jesus said, hey, you're going to be comforted. Or how about meek? Meek means mild or gentle, and the word for meek in Scripture actually carries a sense of confidence and strength. But when we look at meek from a worldly perspective, that's weak. I get meek when I feel uncomfortable. When I know that I'm out of my element, I'm in a place that I don't really like, when I feel powerless. Like in big crowds. I'd rather just shy away in a big crowd and sit in my seat than go around and talk to people. We went to district conference for our denomination a few weeks ago, and I was telling Darren that I hate things like this. Because you're expected to go, I call it politicking, you're expected to get up and talk to everybody. I'd rather just go sit in my seat, and they can come to me if they want to, but I'd rather not talk to anybody. I just want to get in and get out and move on. That's a time when I am meek, where I'm mild, gentle, kind of reserved. In the kingdom of God, feeling these things and being aware of our weakness is a good thing. It's good because it means that you've come to the realization that you need God. And we have a good God that's there to help us. We have a good God that's there to give us strength and give us power. And so being aware of our weakness is encouraged in his kingdom. Yet, while we belong to the kingdom of God, those of us that are Christians, we live in the kingdom of the world where this type of thinking doesn't make sense. I think generally there's a mentality, especially in this area, of when you get hurt, get up, shake it off, keep going. Don't talk about your problems. We're now starting to talk about mental health more, but for a long time, mental health problems was pushed to the side. You didn't need to, you're a wimp if you was talking about your mental health. We are told people to act like everything is okay. I remember hearing at work when I was at Food Lion, keep your problems at home. But yet, they wanted you to answer the work calls at home. So keep your home problems at home, but when you're at home, the work problems are your problem. Does that make sense? No. But I do remember them telling people, because there's some people who are maybe going through a divorce, just lost a loved one, and it's just kind of like, hey, we expect you to come, and we expect you to act normal here, even though you might be hurting. That's not how it should be. But basically, we were telling them, hide your weakness, hide the struggle that you're going through. Or when you lose a loved one, how quickly does your work expect you back? They give you a few days off for the funeral, and they expect you back pretty quickly most of the time. They want you acting okay. Your friends want you to act back to normal. It's the type of thinking that's in this world. Or how about the meek? Here's what a business lady in New York said. She said, in New York City, the meek don't inherit the earth. The big mouth does. Or how about this? This is from some poet. I don't believe that the meek will inherit the earth. The meek get ignored and trampled. And is that not the perspective of the world? When you look at a meek person, can you imagine a meek politician running? They wouldn't be noticed. I tell you what, it'd catch my attention, though. I was thinking with the national conventions going on, it would catch my attention if the politician refused to go to the convention, the presidential candidate refused to go to the convention, instead spent time at diners with the common people. That would catch my attention. That's the gentle spirit. Instead, they're talking to all the money people. For Christians, we don't have to hide our weakness. So my question for you is, why do we? Or why does anyone? It goes back to the fleshly side of us, I think. It goes back to the original sin. It goes back to Adam and Eve's sin. And this is going to seem like it doesn't connect, but I'll connect it towards the end. But I think we try to hide our weaknesses because there's a side of us that believes that we can still live independent lives. There's a fleshly side of us that we talked about last week that's passed down from Adam and Eve. And ultimately, when we go to Adam and Eve's sin, what did they think? They thought they could live independent from the commands God gave them. And so they went and did something that God told them that they could not do. And so now, and this is the story throughout history, We tend to lean towards being independent of God and independent of others. That's part of our sin nature. There's a side of us that makes us believe we don't need anyone or anything else in order to live this life. We go from being a baby who's totally dependent on our parents to the rest of our life trying to show how strong and independent we are. And even though we might be Christians in this room, there's still a side of us that feels that way, who thinks that we can handle things ourselves, thinking that we don't need God, that we don't need help from others, that we don't need the church, we don't need our friends, we don't need our family. When the truth is, we aren't made to live independent lives. And the reason why we're not made to live independent lives is because we are weak outside of our relationship with God. You were literally created to have a relationship with God. And so when you don't have a relationship with God, we often say it creates a God-sized hole in your heart that you try to fill with all these other things in the world, and it all just leaves you empty. God is our creator. We are the created. And so the way that he wired you is for you to have a relationship with him. And so when you don't have a relationship with him, it doesn't feel right. We were also created to have a relationship with others. Here's what God said in Genesis 2:18. It is not good for man to be alone. He's talking about marriage here, but ultimately it's about just having other people. It's good for us to connect with one another. That's part of the reason why God created the church. And so that we would have other Christians to connect with, to push one another in this walk with Jesus. We just studied that in our Rooted study this past week. We were never made to be independent. Instead, we were made to be dependent on God, on others. We need help. Here's what Jeremiah 17:5 says. Cursed is the one who trusts in man, who draws strength from their mere flesh, and whose heart turns away from the Lord. They're cursed. Why? Because they don't have strength from their own flesh to do what God, what they're called to do in life. For Christians, I think we know this fact. I think we know we need God, and I think we know we need others. I think we know we're weak at our core. But yet our default is to head back to independent living. We want to hide our problems from God. We want to hide our problems from others. We don't want to talk about what's going on in our life. You hear people ask people how they're doing, and they'll answer pretty good, when deep down they may be hurting. And I'm speaking from experience here. See, we don't talk about our weaknesses, partially because I think the devil wants you to believe that if you talk about your struggles, people are going to judge you. I was so proud of Sarah, Dave, Darren, and Heidi a couple weeks ago in our Wednesday night Rooted study for getting up and sharing their past struggles and how God has seen them through. Specifically, I know that Darren and Heidi had both talked with me about how afraid they were to share the trauma that they had experienced and to share what they had been through, thinking that people would judge them, that people would look down on them. Yet they stood up anyway, and they were honest. They didn't let the devil win. They talked about their experiences. They talked about their weaknesses. And your support has been so helpful to them since. But see, the devil will try to make us believe that if we're open and honest about our weaknesses, people are going to look down on us, look how weak they are, look how much of a wimp they are, blah, 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 blah. But that's the values of the world. In the kingdom of God, it's the opposite. Another reason why we don't talk about our struggles is because we don't want to burden others, which I find funny. Because in Scripture, it literally says to confess your sins to one another. In fact, in Galatians 6:2, here's what Paul said, carry each other's burdens. And in this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ. And so when you aren't allowing your fellow believer to bear your burden, you're actually robbing them of the ability to fulfill the law of Christ, which is the law of love. We need to be willing to be open and honest with our fellow Christian brothers and sisters. We can't allow that idea of I can't be a burden on anyone to enter our minds, because we're literally called to carry each other's burdens. I mean, I think ultimately we don't share what we're going through in our life. We don't share our weaknesses simply because it comes down to pride. We don't want anyone to see how broken we really are. We want to hold on to that pride that we have left. And so we put up a front so no one knows what's really going on. Yet, you can ask those people that I just listed, when we're up front about our weaknesses, it's freeing. Heidi messaged me this last week and said that very thing. Said it's been so freeing for her that she got up in front of, that was probably 30, 40 people here, and was open and honest about her struggles, about the things that she's been through, about the trauma that she's faced. In our Rooted study in week 5, I think, we split into men and women's groups. Men went over to the fellowship hall, women stayed over here, and in both groups, they were very honest with each other about their struggles in life. Literally talking about their weaknesses. So I came back over here, and the women were still talking, so we got them quiet. And I had multiple people come up to me afterwards and said, "We need to do that again. That was great." And while I'm all about our church setting up the avenues for that to happen, that also needs to happen organically and without the church initiating it. You don't need the church to say, "Hey, get together for us to confess our sins to one another." You can do that yourself. We used to call them discipleship groups, and they're very organic. We don't assign you to a group. You just start one. We have one men one's going right now and two women one's going right now. And the purpose of that group is for us to confess our struggles to one another, to talk about our weaknesses. And it is freeing to do that. And so my encouragement to you is if you were in Rooted a few weeks ago and you like that, hey, just get a group together. Find a couple people that you want to go hang out with, go to lunch, and just talk about your struggles. There's something about confessing our struggles to one another that helps us, which is probably why God commanded us in Scripture to do it in the first place. But you know why it helps us? Because of Jesus. Because He brings the healing. Do you know why you can be honest about your weaknesses? Because of Jesus. Because He's forgiven you everything you've done wrong. He's not going to let your past hold you down. And He wants to help you in this moment live the life that He has called you to live. And ultimately, at some point, you've got to come to learn that if you are honest about your weaknesses, those in the world might treat you differently, might call you weak, might call you wimp, might call you all these names. But their opinion doesn't matter. What matters is what our King Jesus says. And our King wants us to be honest about our weaknesses with Him and others. He doesn't want us to live independent lives, independent of Him, independent of others. And here's why. It's because we come to one of the core principles in the kingdom of God, and this runs underneath the way we should think in the kingdom of God. In the kingdom of God, when you are weak, then you are strong. That's upside down thinking right there, isn't it? The world says strong is strong and weak is weak. But the way this works in the kingdom of God is that weak is strong, and those that actually think they are strong, because remember, they're either full of pride, they're being deceived, or they're just ignorant of their weakness, they are actually weak. And they're in a worse spot than the one who knows that they are weak, who knows they need help. Here's what Paul says in 2 Corinthians 12. Paul is talking about what he calls his thorn in the flesh. And we don't know what this is. We seem to think it's maybe some type of temptation or sin that Paul has dealt with. And here's what he says. In order to keep me from becoming conceited or prideful or full of himself, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan. That's an interesting description. To torment me. And he says, three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. So he's talking about whatever this is, it's a weakness for him. Messenger of Satan. It's like a thorn in the flesh. And if you've ever been poked by a thorn, it does not feel good. And so Paul was saying, yeah, I've got this thing, and I've asked the Lord to please, please take it away from me. And then the Lord said to him in verse 9, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. This is one of those things is quoted, and this is what God said to Paul. Paul put it in this letter to the Corinthian church, and it's now a part of the canon of Scripture. So this is a core truth in the kingdom of God. He wants us to understand that his power is made perfect. And when it says made perfect, it means that it becomes complete. It becomes in its full state in weakness. So in other words, what God is telling Paul, he's wanting Paul to understand, is that it's only when we are weak that his power shines through in greater ways. Although, almost like when we are so conceited and full of ourselves, we don't depend on his power like we should. So his power cannot shine through like it should, because God's not going to force it. He gives us free will. But when we take a step back, and we admit just how weak we are, he willingly shows his strength through us. Paul came to this realization, and we have to as well. Because this is a core value in the kingdom of God. Weak equals strong. But here's something you have to understand. It's not our strength. It's his strength shining in us. It's he who's the one who makes us strong so that we can take on whatever life is throwing at us. Paul learned this principle, and then I love what Paul did next. And this is our takeaway for today. This is what we need to do in response to learning this core value in the kingdom of God. Paul said in second part of verse 9 and verse 10, he says, therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses. In other words, he's going to brag about them. He's going to talk about them. Why? So that Christ's power may rest on me. He said, that is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in my weaknesses. I delight in insults. I delight in hardships. I delight in persecutions and in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. That should get it. Amen. Amen. Paul is ready and willing to talk about his struggles and his weaknesses. In fact, he wants to brag about them because he knows this principle in the kingdom of God. When I am weak, then I am strong. So how do we follow this example? How do we apply this today? First, we have to come to realize our weaknesses. Everyone has them. If you want to know what your weaknesses are, ask your wife. She'll tell you. Right, Dennis? Right, Dennis? Amen. Amen. There you go. Do you know what yours are? Weaknesses are not just weak things about you, but the struggles you're dealing with, the problems in your life, inner thoughts that keep coming to you, temptations, whatever it may be. Come to realize what your weaknesses are. And then talk about them. In fact, let's take Paul's advice and boast about them. Don't hide them. Bring them out. Let the world see. Talk about them openly. Talk about it with God. Talk about it with the church. Talk about it with your friends and family. Talk about it with someone who's actually going to help you see God at work in it and not just tell you what you want to hear. And here's why we should be open about it. Here's why we should talk about it. Number one, because God tells us to. But number two, it brings out a little bit of God's kingdom in this world. Because when you talk about it, God's strength is going to shine through you. We're going to see, even though you've been through some tough times, even though you may be weak right now, for some reason, you still seem strong. And ultimately, your struggles could be used to reach others. When I heard those stories a couple weeks ago in Rudin, I heard them sharing the trauma that they've been through. All I could think about as I was sitting right there listening to them is, and you're still here. Not only are you here, but you're serving God, and you're literally playing a role in snatching others from eternity in hell. God's strength shined through them because they lived through things that no one should have to live through. And yet they're still here, they're serving God faithfully, and they're fulfilling God's purpose in their life. God's strength was shown in their weakness. And that right there could be exactly what someone else needs to hear in order to come to faith in Jesus Christ. That right there could be exactly what someone else needs to trust this God that they don't know. To see that God has worked in you and through you despite all that you've been through. And so, church, we have to change our thinking. In order to be strong, we have to realize our weakness. Not so that our strength is on display, but so that God's strength is on display for the world to see. And when you think about the other aspects of the upside-down nature of the kingdom of God, it all starts with getting this part down in the way we think. Talking about turning the other cheek, what would the world say to someone that got hit on this side and then turned to the other side also? What would they say? They'd say they're weak. But really, it is strong because it leaves the door open for God to avenge us. Or how about serving? If we went to, let's just say, the White House, or let's say we went to Buckingham Palace, we would say the strong ones are the kings, queens, presidents, whatever, and those that were the ones serving, they're the weak ones. But really, they're the strong ones. Really, we should be the strong ones by serving because we're willingly taking that posture, showing to the world that we don't need those high positions in order to be happy. Or how about finishing last? All those people finishing last in the Olympics, they look weak. But really, when we go last, when we finish last, it's really about us just being glad that with the last is first. And whoever finished first, in this world, we can be happy for them. Someone else won, they get the joy of winning, but we understand what really matters. And it's our relationship with God. This is a whole different way of thinking. Whole other set of values to value in this world, and it's so upside down from how we think. And yet, Jesus set the example perfectly for us. Let me describe this to you. And you can think about it from a worldly perspective and then think about it from our perspective. When Jesus was arrested, beaten, hung on the cross with a crown of thorns pressed into his head, bleeding out, do you think that seems strong or weak to those in attendance? For those, even his disciples, it didn't make sense. It seemed like he was weak. Especially with the Jewish understanding of who the Messiah was supposed to be. The Messiah was supposed to come and lead them against their oppressors, was supposed to lead the nation. And here is the one who says that he is the Messiah on the cross, bleeding out after being arrested, beaten, tortured, really. For those in the world, we're told what they said. In Matthew 27, 39 through 42, said those who passed by, they hurled insults at him. They were shaking their heads and saying, "You who are going to destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself. Come down from that cross if you really are the Son of God. If you're the strong one that you claim to be." In the same way, the chief priests, the teachers of the law, and the elders, they mocked him and said that he saved others, but he can't save himself. He's the King of Israel. Let him come down now from the cross and we'll believe in him. See, to the world, to those who were thinking with the values of the world that we live in, Jesus was weak. But to those of us that are now a part of the kingdom, when we read what Jesus did, do we not look at that and say that is the strongest act anyone has ever taken in the history of this world? Why do you think we look at it that way? Because the Holy Spirit has begun making us think the way of the kingdom of God. Because we know God's strength that was shown in 3 days after this. We know God's strength that resurrected us from spiritual death. And ultimately, we know that all the world one day will see his strength when he returns. See, Jesus lived it out. We have to as well. So as worship team comes up, I want you to be honest about yourself, about what struggles you're facing in your life, what weaknesses you have, what sin you might be dealing with, what temptations you may be facing, what problems you have. Come to realize your weaknesses. Stop trying to numb it away. Stop trying to distract yourself. Be honest with yourself about what's going on in your life. And don't try to fight it independent from God. Don't try to deal with it independent from God. You got to bring it to God. And then bring it to whoever God tells you to bring it to. We've got to be willing to be weak so that God's strength will shine in us. So the worship team's getting ready to sing a song called "Oh Come to the Altar." And the whole part of this song, point of this song, is about bringing your sin and the things that you're dealing with to him. Giving it to him. Not continue to fight it yourself, not continue to be independent, but realizing your weakness and saying, "God, I need you." The altar's the place where you meet God. Now, you don't have to come up here in order to meet God. You can meet God right where you're at. Now, I want to encourage you during this song. You moving up might be what someone else needs to feel the encouragement to come to God and meet with him. But my prayer is that we would, number one, realize our weaknesses. Number two, we'd be willing to talk about them, that we'd be willing to boast about them as Paul told us to. And that starts by talking to God. So why don't you stand to your feet and I want to pray our best as we prepare to sing.